Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Rylan. I'll be doing the opening prayer with y'all. I'm one of the practitioners here at CSL Bellingham. You can tell us by wearing the stole, something. It's a thing. It looks like this. Words are hard sometimes. We also have lots of ways that we can pray for you. You can see here. For those of you on the live stream, it's right here. And we have a prayer vessel in the back. We have online prayers. And you can always join us right now with a deep breath. And join me in knowing that there is only one divine presence, one power of love, of joy, of peace. And that presence of peace is here now. It is in each of us, connecting us together, uniting us as one power, one love. And through that one connection, that connection with the divine, we are the presence of love in this world. And we share that with every interaction, with each other and with everyone in our community and in the world. We spread love and peace and joy just with a smile, a word, a touch of kindness. And I am so grateful for this power and this presence. And I release these words, and so it is.
No, I am not the senior minister anywhere. Not even in my own mind, kind of thing. But I appreciate the thought, Sandy. Yeah, it's probably just that there's this energy in the room and in the community about a senior minister that I am watching from afar and holding and y'all in prayer and just tickled to be able to see how this community grows and know that you're going to, the ideal minister will be found, will arrive, will be selected for this community to continue to thrive and become what you want to be. And I don't know what that is, but I can't wait to find out, even though I won't be able to come up here as much, but we'll just come up and sit in the crowd and join you that way. So I want to take a moment to thank Reverend Deb for 2 weeks ago starting the theme for the month of Wings of Love. Cindy picked it up. Ministerial student Cindy picked it up and was did our talk last week. They were both good news. None of them stole my thunder. Woo! You got to worry when you're like third in line. You don't know what's left to talk about. And so this week, we get, well, if you any of you read my blurb for the talk, yeah, it's, I saw the title Soar in Love, and I immediately went to, yeah, us, me, and 100 of my closest friends inside of a tube at 30,000 feet for 4 hours. Yeah, that's soaring. That's the soaring in love I've done. And it's a really a laboratory, though, and I'm going to use that today as a way to talk about how soaring in love and the opportunities that come with that. Now, I do want to thank Tabor for the song. It's amazing how I come here and Tabor has the song that I want, that I didn't even know I wanted. So if you get tired of listening to me, just play that song. It's it. So first off, when you saw the title Soar in Love, did anybody think of like an eagle? Flying, soaring, glad you're not a salmon. They're so beautiful. And then there are those moments when you see the eagle flying like a bat out of heck, because there's a murder of crows that have decided that they need to try to murder the eagle. Not quite soaring in love. Soaring in it, but you know, it's there's so many different things that happen when we think about soaring. And so to play with today, because as some of you said, you prefer humor over tears, I'm going to take a different approach. Good morning. This is your captain speaking. Welcome to CSL Bellingham's Flight 81725. We will be taking off just shortly, but I have a few announcements for you before we get going. First, I want to thank our great crew that's on board to make sure that we all look good, sound good, and can all hear what's going on our flight. We are blessed by the crew, that technical crew. And how many flights have you had live music on? Isn't that great that we've added that to our airline here, our flights? And they sing really well, don't they? Yes, they do. And I am your captain, your pilot. Now, just in case you're worried, since this is a relatively new way of moving around, a new airline, your captain has over 3 million actual air miles over about 40 years. Anybody besides me did a lot of traveling for business? A few of us? Yeah, I earned every one of those. But I offer that because that means if I talk about travel, I got some chops. I've been there, done that, regretted it a couple of times. So, but today we're going to take a flight. And I want to ask, but before we get on it, I want to come back to something I learned a couple of weeks ago. It really fits in with the song and the real message that I want to bring today. Who in here has heard of the three amigos of Rabbi Ted, Pastor Don, and Iman Jamal? Yeah. Those three came together to create and share and go around the world talking about how Islam, Judaism, and Christianity are not that different. They're not that part. And how that we can, in spite of our religions, if can come together and explore the divine and to experience love in the world in a different way. 2 weeks ago, Iman Jamal was speaking at CSL, Seattle. And what we're doing down south is we decided to explore trusting ourselves. A book by Tama Keeves, if you're interested, about how to work on trusting yourself. Brother Jamal spoke about trusting our higher self, our higher relationship. And if you've ever heard him, he tells mullah stories, little humorous things, and then he'll put a zinger in, just like me. And the zinger he threw in was the idea of in our relationship with the divine for us to use compassionate self-awareness in our relationship with ourselves. And I heard him say that. I was sitting in the back of the sanctuary, but I heard that and just kind of went, oh, I think this is important. And so I took that to our men's group, which meets on the first Sunday of the month, and we were talking about self-trust. But I brought what Brother Jamal shared about compassionate self-awareness into our men's group. And I watched how that it supported those men in exploring the idea of self-trust. Matter of fact, I said like five words and then they took off talking. And finally, about 20 minutes later, I said, it's my turn. I had a program here. I had something to share. So if we're going to go on this journey of love, the wings of love, what I would invite us to do is make part of what we pack or take on this journey compassionate self-awareness. So what would that look like? Let me tell you a story that'll give you a sense for comparison. Prior to that Sunday 2 weeks ago, oh, by the way, I did the talk last Sunday there on self-trust. I almost brought that talk instead of the one I was going to do, but maybe I can come back and do that one. prior to that talk, I had had about 5 weeks or so, it seems longer, of not my best days. I mean, I didn't know what it was. I was chopping water and carrying wood and not really. See, there are some people who pay it, you know, got the joke. And he said that. And when I took it to the men's group, and then I took it with me to become compassionately self-aware, one, I began to realize that I was doing the human thing, the cultural thing. What is wrong with me? Is it the meds I'm taking because of the cardiac event last year? Is that what's screwing me up? Am I sleeping too much? Am I not sleeping enough? Did I eat something that's messing with me? Should I eat more things that mess? I mean, it's just this whole thing in your head that's going, looking for the bad, broken, and wrong, or things that you messed up. How, you know, did some scapegoat for what I was going through. When I got the compassionate self-awareness where I could take and approach this malaise I was in from a place of kindness, a place of grace, curiosity, a little bit of acceptance, and a whole lot of non-judgment, I began to one, to kind of settle myself. I felt myself settle a little bit. I could find my ground again. I could get a stand. And then I really noticed that when I was in compassionate self-awareness, I was in present moment. Looking back for what was wrong just seemed to dissolve. Standing in this compassionate self-awareness, my point of view began to shift. I began to look at, okay, this is today. What do I want? What do I want this day? What is it that I'm wanting to experience in my life that is not happening right now? Not from blame or shame, but from curiosity and remembering that before the 5 weeks started, I was doing pretty well. I let go of trying to figure out what was wrong, and I stepped into, what do I want? What do we teach? Cindy talked about it last week with Emma Curtis Hopkins. We teach name our good. And then the steps allow us to help to affirm that and covenant with God and to see that and look for the demonstration. I came back to a compassionate place and said, then my good and what I welcome is an energetic and engaged life. And I realized, oh, those last few weeks, I hadn't been engaged very much. Like I said, I was chopping water, carrying wood. I was off. But when I remembered through that stopping and listening to myself with openness, got back to my values, what's important to me, engagement's important to me, accountability, self-determination are all values that are really important. I can now stand in this new place, from this compassionate place, and name my good again. I could name my good of being engaged. I could name my good of getting back to chopping wood and carrying water and doing it from a place of the divine. Actually, the practice that Deb talked about probably back in first week, about that being in that place of whatever you're doing it into the divine, with the divine. What I know about what's coming up for you next week, I think this soaring in love begins a descent. I really wanted that one, by the way. But if the plane you're on is starting to make the descent, why not do it in a compassionate self-awareness place? To be open that in this love that we're traveling with, to be able to still be compassionate to ourselves. Compassionate self-awareness is talking to ourselves like we're our most trusted friend. Like we're someone we really care about. Someone we want to thrive. Someone that is worthy to receive all the good that is coming to me. That was in the song. So whatever else I say today, I hope that this idea of compassionate self-awareness, that you'll take it and give it a try. play the song, think about compassionate awareness, and use that in your journey to be your own friend, be your own confidant, be your own support. You willing? All righty, I'll check back. Okay. All righty. But soaring in love. I thought it was kind of an interesting thing to talk about. I mean, we learned about love. We got some practices to go with love, and now we've taken off and we're in love. So a few of you have done a lot of business travel. As people have done personal air travel, raise your hands to see, get the room. You've watched it on TV, people doing personal travel with all kinds of results. It's not like TV. Okay. And so when you're going to travel, what do you pack? Have you thought of, I mean, you know, you've bathing suit. Yeah, we know where you're going. That sounds good. But there's the part of doing the reservations and getting all that stuff organized to travel. And then there comes that last, you know, usually it's like the last minute. Oh, I got to pack. Now, when you've done 3 million miles of travel, I got to pack is pretty straightforward. And I can still mess it up. But it's still pretty straightforward. But I have some things I always pack. For example, I have a spiritual practice. I like to meditate in the mornings for a period of time. Not really long, but it's long enough for me. And when I do it at home, I have a big crystal and I have a small crystal. The big crystal, I can't remember how long I've had, but it's been a really, really long time. And it fit my hand when I picked it up, and I knew that we were a pair. My other crystal in my home is given to me by a shaman in Peru. Looks a little bit like a snakehead, one of their high holy figures. And I've had that for many years. There was a time I took the big crystal on my travels. I don't do that anymore, but I have another smaller crystal along with my shaman crystal that travel with me whenever I go. They travel in my pocket. They travel with me. They're important because I want to have that touchstone wherever I am in the world. Something that grounds me, brings me back to the divine, that lets me travel and own the wings of love. So what would you pack with you that would do that for you? That's the invitation. If we're going to travel, what supports you in your travel? What would be in your pocket? What would you want in your carry-on that is going to support you as you are soar on the wings of love? Some things I pack as part of my spiritual practice. I pack divine order, baby. I want divine order when I travel. I use Emma's practice to name my good in divine order, to walk through each step, naming my good about my travels, my departure, my flight, my arrivals, all the way to the hotel that I'm staying. I use Emma practice, I use prayer, and use visualization to see this easy travel. That's what I pack and cake with me to be on the wings of love. I now pack and will pack compassionate self-awareness. And why might I want to do that? Let me tell you a story about some of the fun things about traveling. And to set it up, talk about the Stoic philosophy, Stoicism. Basically, ancient Greek, bunch of really wise men, women, created the Stoic philosophy that boils down to like one really big question. First question is this something I can control? Do I have any control over this? Other people claim this idea. It's a really good idea, wherever you get it from. But to ask, is there anything about this that I can control? The answer is yes. Then the next question becomes, so in that case, with what I can control, what is mine to do, to be? it helps eliminate, because if it's not yours to control, which when you're traveling, that's pretty much everything, then the Stoic philosophy says, if it's not yours to control, then don't waste your energy and effort. Which frees me up to come back to what I can control, which is most often myself. Isn't that the one thing on a trip that you have full control over? Is yourself. I know you've traveled a lot. And, you know, in my travels, I found that was the things that I could do for myself were the things that made travel the most fun. One of them is be early. And I'll tell you why. I practiced that. This was back before COVID, which marks just not that far ago, but a long time ago. I did a lot of work in Michigan, beautiful state. I refused to go to land in Detroit. I didn't have business in the urban areas. It was all in rural Michigan. So there was no reason for me to be anywhere near Detroit. There's a lot of traffic. Crazy people drive there. So I would land in Grand Rapids, which is on the west coast of Michigan. Remember, they got big lakes, really great lakes. And so I would plan my trip, all the places I had to go and be, and making sure that on my return home trip, that I finished wherever I was in the state with plenty of time to get to Grand Rapids International Airport. They fly to Canada. So that would be early for my flight and be through security and sitting in the gate area relaxing. Best place to be when you're traveling. And so this is one of those times I was there. It was a Friday afternoon. Flight was around 3:30. You don't get anywhere direct except some place close to Grand Rapids. So my next stop was Chicago to get my flight to Seattle. Probably getting there around midnight, but you get used to that. But I'm standing there. This is pre-minister, I think it may have been a practitioner, but, you know, just standing there watching, waiting, looking out the window. There's no airplane. Watching the time click by. Oh, we're getting close. There's no airplane. Watching people start to arrive that don't get there as early as I do. And they're going, there's no airplane. Where's the airplane? We got to go. And I could just feel the energy at that gate changing. It was getting, people were getting like, you know, irritated. And I'm just standing on, leaning against one of the big posts watching. And then all of a sudden, I saw this gate agent come up. And she got behind the little stand for where gate agents go. And she immediately became very popular. Everybody wanted to know where the airplane was. What are you going to do if the airplane's late? Good. And, you know, all this stuff going on. And there was a moment of grace. It's the only thing I can call it is grace. That came over me and said, what's yours to do here? Probably wasn't that formal, but something said, what's mine to do? What is yours to do here? And I looked around, and then I started with myself. I was like, well, what can I do? I can't fly the plane. I did work for the airlines in college. I can clean them. And I can unload them, but I can't fly it. And it's like, but I can be a different presence. So what, you know, I didn't know about Stoicism there, but I practiced it. I said, okay, what's mine to do is to be me as best as I can be and to find my center to while I'm waiting. And then as I saw the gate agent, I say, and I can pray for her. If it was me today, I'd say, I can bless her. I can bless her because what I do with blessing, and I think I've told you all before, is I use blessing because I trust the divine to know what that person needs, and I don't have to be in there. I can just bless them and allow the divine to handle whatever it is they need, the good that is coming to them, that they can receive it, whatever that looks like. So I began blessing her, praying for that gate agent. And I noticed the room was still kind of harsh energy. And I expanded that to include everyone here is blessed. Everyone is, you know, touched by grace, that somehow that this room will settle down, because there's nothing we can do. None of us can go out there and fix this. And so eventually, oh, they said, the plane has landed. Look at the watch. This is going to be good. You know, whenever I got to make this flight, because I don't want to spend the night in Chicago. I want to go home. I'm tired. Plane comes in. Everybody comes off. Everybody's like starting to, you know, almost that battle between who's coming off and who's getting on. Not prayer doesn't work on everybody. But what I allowed myself to do was to simply stay in this place. We got people off. They got us on. We got in the plane. We started over. I looked at the watch again and said, well, I wonder what the next flight is after that one. We landed. I got off the flight. Quick, brisk. Chicago is a big airport. On this in this terminal, we got to go all the way up to here. We got to go there. And we got to come all the way back to here. I don't know for sure I was the last person on that flight. I really didn't care. But when I turned that corner and saw the door was open, I was like, yay, God. I don't know how. Because according to my watch, this thing should have been gone. And it was like, but I made it. And what I really noticed on the way home was my experience of that whole dynamic of a no airplane, a late departure, heck, I'm not going to make it, was just easy. And I know, because I think somebody else, I know other people did not have that experience. They came off the plane like bats out of heck, trying to get to where they were, and you didn't want to be in front of them. The thing about soaring on the wings of love, when we can come into that space with a sense of being compassionate with ourselves, because it all starts in here. I think y'all two said that. It all starts in here. If I can be compassionate with myself in any place, then I am in a place where that compassion can radiate out to others, that my world can shift as I shift inside. So in traveling and flying in love, to be able to come and find your ground, to recognize again that who you are, that you're worthy, that simply by being here, you are worthy to receive, to be blessed, and to receive what you desire to have. So pack gratitude when you travel. I mean, just think about it. It's a long way by car to anywhere from here. And we get to travel by air. I travel in gratitude that I can do that. I travel in gratitude for everyone that's supporting me on a flight. Because if we're doing this Wings of Love thing, we are being supported, and we have to welcome that support. And we welcome it by being grateful and recognizing it, creating that flow. So as this plane gets ready to take off, I will let you know also that your pilot, we will fly at a variety of altitudes. The pilot, that's me, happens to like turbulence. So stay buckled up, because I like a good rumble. So I may choose turbulence, but I'll still do it on the wings of love. Brené Brown's definition of rumble, from vulnerability and a desire to understand, not to do this. So we'll fly at various altitudes, but under the Stoic philosophy, the attitudes are yours. Choose compassion. Let's pray. Oh, dear sweet spirit, creator, source of all, that's brought together this community, that has created this ability to include those online and those in the room to be in this community of love and support, of wisdom, of opportunity and challenge, of exploration and questions and compassion. That we are coming together to support each other on our journeys of love and journeys of life, finding a way to be human and spiritual at the same time. that we call upon Spirit now to guide this group, this time, this community into this week, flying, riding, traveling, gliding, soaring on the wings of love. And to do that with a conscious, compassionate awareness, to let that soaring bring into awareness what it is we want to experience next. What is my good? What is I want to call forth? And to know that as I spend this time in the vine asking and claiming my good, the vine says yes and amen and provides that which we seek, that which we are open to and ready to receive. I am grateful to be part of this community, and I'm grateful for all of you and the support you give to the greater community of Bellingham. And if you like these ideas, please affirm with me by saying together, and so it is. Thank you.